Hey guys, your favourite podcast is just seconds away, but what if you could listen to it without worrying about using data? Got an offer for you right now. If you go to ilovedata.com.au, you're going to get 50 gigs of data for only $59.95 a month. There's no contracts, there's no catches. It's ilovedata.com.au. Open that up on your browser now and let's get into the podcast.
Ed, you obviously didn't hang around till the end of the Kyrgios match because you were surprised to hear that he lost last night at about, what time was it? Let me consult my notes. 8:24 match point time. Two sets to love up. You must have seen at that point, God, this is, he is bloody brilliant. He could be the greatest player on earth. His serve is incredible. He's got every shot. He makes everything look so easy for the first two sets. Mate, and then he just disintegrated mentally. I've never seen anything like it. It's like he couldn't give a stuff for the next two sets. It was brilliant TV, but Kyrgios, can I just, I wanted to detail the commentary. I went through and just made a few little notes going, oh God, he's coming apart. He's coming apart. I've never seen anyone who needs a coach more than he does. He was screaming at his box at times, blaming them for his body coming apart. He was saying things like to them, he was turning to his box, he'd miss an easy forehand or whatever. He'd turn to his box, it's all your fault for no reason.
Like well, his brother's a personal trainer, isn't he?
Maybe here in Brizzy, he's got a gym there at Mount Cravat somewhere. Yeah. Christos, his brother, he was in the box screaming for him, and then he had the mad Italians, they were screaming at their bloke. It was really emotion charged. But can I just give you a document? The way in the last three sets, I still don't know, sitting here now, how he could possibly have lost that. The bloke, he was a 32-year-old, just a journeyman Italian who beat the most brilliant player, Alan Kyrgios. And you remember my dad, I told you his last words were, I wouldn't give the effing dick a feed, all right?
Yes.
They were our last words. So our family's fairly got mixed opinions about Kyrgios, but I believe he is brilliant.
I agree.
But here's the commentators as it unfolded, as he broke down over the next three sets.
Battle with himself just continues. We're heading for 2 hours. He shouldn't be tired.
It's amazing how it can go from being so much fun for him to being such misery also when he wasn't in peril at all. He's an instinct-based player. He's not a strategic-based player. That's not the issue. It's his commitment level and his excitement level. All of that's gone away. I mean, him not thinking on the court is, he plays his best tennis when he's not thinking either.
And the most baffling part of it all, he talked himself into this funk. Well, it's like a melancholy madness at the moment from Kyrgios. There's no other way to describe it.
Four games on.
His body language well within himself. One shriek towards his box. Four all, fifth set.
Get the ball, please.
He's amazing, but he is partly insane. I don't know what we do about it. It's sad now.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I can't believe he lost. He was killing Seppi. And
he's so good.
It's going to be one of those. He needs one of those mental coach types, Marto, you know, that they bring into sports.
Look
teams
at the Kurumaa's guy on that back column. They've got him spitting the dummy. He didn't spit the dummy. No. He just needs someone to get into his head and sort him out. Poor bugger. It's actually sad.
Coach would be good.
Coach would be a good start. You've got to have one of those. Rather than blaming your mum sitting in the box for not making you the right tomato sandwiches or something or other.
Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We did mention at the start of the show that we've been handed an incredible deal from Ovo Mobile. So if you switch to Ovo Data SIM, you're going to get 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G. And this is going to change how you enjoy listening to music, video, sport, all the stuff you do on your mobile device with nothing more than a new SIM. And get this, just for you, for listening right now, Ovo will give you the first month at half price. Let's do some math. Let's work that out. A whole month to enjoy 50 gig on 4G for just $29.95, then $59.95 after that. So there's no contract and Ovo will instantly upgrade your plan to any better offers they release as part of their More for Fans promise. And with 50 gig, you can afford to catch up with us more often. Open your browser now and get on at ilovedata.com.au. 50 gig for $59.95 on 4G and then half price for the first month. ilovedata.com.au. Now let's get back to the show.
Hey, Ed, you remember yesterday I told you I had to take off early and go to that funeral?
Funeral, yeah.
And then I came back, caught a cab back, right? Okay. And the bloke said, oh, where do you work? And I said, oh, just near William Jolly Bridge. He said, oh, at the radio station. Mm-hmm. All right, and to one thing led to another. Then he said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I work on the radio." You know, told this fella. He was an Indian bloke, a really nice fella. Mm. And then he went, "Oh, do you work for the other station that's here next to us?" And I said, "No, I work for Triple M." He said, "How do you do it? What do you talk about?" And I went, "Oh, we talk a bit of politics. We talk everything in the whole world. We talk silly stories, you know, people can't cook or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I said, "Oh, and we talk a bit of tennis and cricket at the moment." He said, "Cricket." As soon as I said cricket, his eyes lit up. and he wanted to talk about the Heat, and he wanted to know if we had any tickets to the Heat. Well, I pushed record at one stage on my phone.
Good.
Just to tell you, this is the way the conversation went with McCabby.
All right, Mr. Cabby, what do you need?
Yeah, man, I want this Big Bash ticket. Actually, my parents coming from India to here, and my father is big fan of cricket.
Yeah.
And that's why last time I going as well to Gabba for buy ticket, but all sold out. And same now. I check on internet, I call to
it's
Gabba.
It's sold out. We've got tickets at Triple M. I'll ask the audience.
Do you ever been to the Gabba?
Yeah, many of time before as well.
And you told him how good it was and he wants to go.
Yeah.
You know I drive a Mahindra.
Oh, right.
I've got a Mahindra Ute. Oh, it's wonderful.
It's common language, cricket and Indian. All right. Well, listen, I actually said to him, "I don't know what the deal is. I'll go back into the office. I'll give you a ring tomorrow. I've got his phone number because I've been given the all clear because before I turned the audio off, he offered me, he said, if you can get me tickets, I'll get you a chicken curry."
That's quite a barter.
A chicken curry. You can join in the fun. It's not just a little individual. I'd reckon he'll make a decent sized one for all of us.
Okay. Hmm. Have we got him?
And I got the thumbs up. We have it. It's Taryn.
Hi, man. How are you?
All right.
I'm excited. Now, listen, the promise is that Marto said that if he could find some Heat tickets for you and your father who's coming out from India.
From New Delhi.
That you would bring in a chicken curry. Is that correct? Is that the deal?
Yeah, man, it's a deal. It's a super deal. Chicken curry for your old staff.
How big a chicken curry? How many will it feed?
You tell me how many you are.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4.
At least 12. At least 10, I reckon. There's a few coming a little bit.
What? No worries, man. You give me one day for make chicken curry.
Yeah.
And next day I deliver to your office.
All right. You come in. You know where you dropped me off the other day.
This is great.
Yeah, man.
Just near the William Jolly Bridge. Park there. You park the cab there and come on in. Bring the curry. Yeah. I'll have two tickets, you and your dad. I told you I could sort something out.
Thank you. Thank you very much, man. It's really very, very big help. You can't understand how I am happy now. After that, I called to my father and I feel happy.
Oh, that's really it's curry for comment. That's what they're calling it around the station. But we're super excited. Have you got a customer in the cab right now, Taryn?
Yeah, I request my customer as well, and he say me yes. You talk Norris.
Tell him you and your dad from New Delhi have got tickets to the cricket tomorrow night. The Heat.
Thanks, Sam. Thank you very much,
Taryn. Not too spicy on the curry either, mate.
Just medium, mate. Don't make it for your dad. Make it for us.
Yeah, man. No worries.
Great. Can you do some puppet arms too, mate? Is there a nanamini or something?
Yes. Don't worry about it.
And so what do you call that, the cucumber gum?
No, leave him. Taryn's got these there.
Okay.
Thank you, man.
Marto, I don't know what you're doing tonight, but if you want to come and hang out, I'll be at Rumours on the Gold Coast.
Rumours?
Which is it was spelled with a Z, rumour, and then a Z at the end.
Nightclub?
Yep, Gold Coast Night Spot. I don't know.
Thirsty Thursday, I see.
Yeah, very, very thirsty Thursday. It is the first clothing optional nightclub to open on the Gold Coast.
Yeah. Stop it. Are you right?
Gold Coast Bulletin reports.
Is there a cloakroom or do you hop out of the cab and have to clean the seat? Like, are your togs off before you get in there?
No, your togs on and then you get in and the cloakroom.
How do you pay for your drinks?
That's a very good question.
Oh, you'll have your phone.
Yeah, you'd have your phone. Or a phone or a little, maybe you just carry your key card sort of hung around your neck like a medallion.
Oh.
And they've got, but there is an area for swingers and a bed that houses 20 people.
Oh, stop it. Oh, hold on. Who's on the guest list? I'm thinking Warwick Capper and Shannon Knoll are right front and centre.
Front and centre, Knoll's in. James Roberts, he'll be there.
Oh, of course he will.
Located, renovated premises, which used to be on the side of an old club called Whispers, which I know.
With a Z as well?
No, that was with an S. Maybe that's why it didn't work.
can I ask, the problem is that you can get a, you know, a sausage fest going. Yeah, there'll be too many blokes when they listen to this. They'll all go, oh, I'm on. And you get there and there's three girls and 272 blokes. How, what are they doing to keep
well,
the numbers?
Well, Samantha, who is 22 and
hostess,
whose partner is 31, said guests were able to wander around what they're calling the red zone with no obligation. But people were more than welcome to just wander around in the other, what they're calling the separate normal part of the nightclub.
Oh, that's like you at South Bank. You're just wandering around pretending you're not involved but having a very good look.
How dare you? And are you ready for this? Ready for the price structure?
Oh, yeah.
Entry for men is $200.
Oh, what?
But entry for single ladies is free.
Oh, my God. Hold on.
And entry for couples, and this is the part that I like, entry for couples starts at $100 depending on what time you arrive and what time you leave.
Oh, my God, like it's like an alley.
Yeah, it's like the airport car park.
We were only in the orgy room for 20 minutes. Your ticket says 22 minutes. I've got to charge you the extra hour.
We're going to have to tell you.
I've got a question for you, Marto. Who do you have in your life that can't cook, who can't do any
cooking at all?
Zero cooking. Who can't just do? I'm staying
within my EEA, my family first, and then spreading out. No, everyone in our, you can cook something.
What can your son cook? He is 18 years old.
Pesto. He just loves his pesto pasta. He can do tomato. He loves pasta. He cooks it himself. You'll wake up in the morning and there's a huge saucepan in the fridge where he's cooked up, you know, midnight or whatever. And he can do anything because he's hungry.
Okay.
And we taught him a fair while ago, get stuffed, do it yourself.
I have a mate of mine who is, I found this out from him just sort of by accident. We were talking about cooking shows, and I was talking about how they, I can't be bothered, who cares if you're watching people cook, exactly. You know,
on After the Tennis.
And he said, I thought that was so, He said, I thought that was so people could learn how to cook. I said, what are you talking about?
Instructional.
Exactly. It's not a how-to. And he goes, oh. And I said, wait a second. You can't cook, can you? And he goes, yeah, I can. I said, list the things you can cook. And he said, noodles. I said, doesn't count. Mee goreng doesn't count.
No, I wouldn't count that as a food stuff, yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't count pasta either. If you just boil pasta and then
and throw pesto jar.
Isn't that cooking?
No. That's construction. So that is not what I call
righto. Okay, I'm with you.
And I said, so who
How old's this bloke?
He's in his 30s. And I said, so who cooks for you?
Yeah.
And he said, I'll get, and I was like, this is not words.
Has he got a fridge? So he's just got a fridge to put stuff when it arrives home and eats that the next day, heats things up.
He's got a partner who does some cooking, he says. He's got himself a mother who he still gets meals off.
She drops him in.
And then he's got takeaway for
the
rest.
He's a heater. He knows how to use the microwave to heat stuff.
Cannot cook anything.
So heating's not cooking, is it?
No. And I was like, mate, you're a hassle, yeah? He goes, why am I a hassle? I said, you can't cook anything. You are still relying on others for your food. You're like a bird in the nest that screams and then the mother comes home and regurgitates what she's caught into your mouth.
I'll make everyone feel better. My sister brought up three children. One of my sisters brought up three children. One's a wonderful cook, and one was so busy at work, she never used her stovetop or oven. Her oven had Tupperware inside it. She never cooked a meal. They were that busy throughout their life. She now cooks. She's slowing down in life. But while she brought up kids, could never cook. They just always had cereal. They had a lot of cereal.
Wow. Who's got someone in their life?
I wish I didn't tell her the world that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
She'll kill me. The oven was used for storage.
If you've got someone in your life that can't cook, I'd love to hear about them.
How did they get through? It's not hard to get through, though. Cereal and heating stuff up.
Still, that's...
You can get through life.
You are a burden on other people.
Hmm.
You are a burden on other people. Because you see sometimes too, Marto, we even see it at work, where people bring all those, the pre-packaged meals that you see in the... In the fridge sometimes.
Isn't that cooking?
And I often think, that looks like someone's reheating as a way of hiding that they don't cook. Has anyone got anyone else in their life? Can't cook anything, nothing. Because you've got to remember that noodles counts. Maybe they got one dish and that's all they'll do.
Is one thing enough, though? Like, I'm just thinking, I have a daughter who's going to leave home shortly, an 18-year-old daughter, and she can cook curry tomatoes. I've never really seen anything else come from her.
I wasn't aware that was a dish. Curry tomato.
Well, it seems to get her through life.
Curry, yuck. Curry tomatoes.
Yeah, just tomatoes, and you cook them up, and then you throw a little bit of curry in, and then you put it on toast.
No.
Meal. Oh, voila.
Yeah.
Hold on, let's try some others. Josh from Redland Bay. Who is it, mate?
It's my stepfather.
Yeah. What's he got? What's the only thing he can do?
French toast.
Well, that doesn't help at dinner. And when you say French toast, how elaborate is this dish of your stepdad's?
Oh, it's just normal French toast.
What is normal French toast? Is that when you cook it in a pan?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and so your stepdad relies on everybody else to provide him with meals, doesn't he, Josh?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Comes dinner time, he's no help at all.
Nope.
Not unless it's Wednesday, which is French toast night. Thank you very much,
separation
Josh.
Of duties. He probably mows the lawn and then goes, well, I've been busy. Haven't had time to cook. Justine.
Yeah?
Where are you? Down at Wynnum. Down at Wynnum, is it you who can't cook?
No, it's not me. It's my boss. I'm a nanny, and I've been with them for 7 years, and all she cooks is risotto.
Risotto, 7 years, and that's all they've covered.
So you're there every day, and she says one night, it must be one night a week, does she go, righto, this is risotto night, I've got it.
No, to be honest, I think she's cooked it twice in 7 years.
Oh, my God. How does she eat? Justine, how does she eat?
Her husband.
Yes.
He's the cook. He's Greek. So he cooks a lot, and she just eats what everyone else cooks.
That's amazing. It's an amazing world to get yourself into. I don't know how people manage this. Thank you, Justine. Corey. All right, Corey. What happened? Who's the non-cooker in your life?
Yeah, mate. It's just me missus.
Your missus. Oh, this is going to be trouble, Corey.
What happened? Did you not know before you married her that she couldn't cook?
Mate, well, I've been going out with her for about 5 years, and when I met her, she kept raving on about her ribs. Apparently, she got A's for in her hospitality.
Yeah. Did she ever cook her or just talk it up?
Mate, she's talked it up, but then a couple of weeks ago, she thought she would surprise me.
Yeah.
And, she cooked me a meal, so I got a phone call on the way home from work, and she called me saying, I just put pork in the oven and it caught fire.
Yeah. Oh, well. I hope you like well done, Corey. That's fantastic.
Reckon, fellas. I reckon.
So who cooks, Corey? Do you do all the cooking? How do you get meals?
Oh, mate, pretty much ever since I was about 15, I learned off my grandmother. So, I'll pretty much come home and put on the apron, fellas, and pretty much cook.
You're a catch, mate. You are a catch, Corey. That is it. You're a real catch.
Do you reckon, does Corey stay with us? Is it a finisher? Like, is that, if your partner can't cook, is that a reason not to be with them?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Cook? No, not really. Like, she's a really great girl, fellas. Like, don't get me wrong. She, she cleans and, does the washing and hands-on and stuff like that, but, I'll just hopefully one time she'll come through and cook a meal, eh?
We'll put you on to we'll get Hilly to come round, teach you how to make curry tomatoes. Delicious.
Yeah,
curry.
But if you can't cook, you've got to be able to clean, otherwise you are useless. What about your mate? Does he clean well?
Are you joking?
No, no.
He is. Yeah, he is. Scotty. He's one of those. You know everyone's got that mate? He's that mate. He's that guy.
Scotty. Yeah. He probably doesn't drive either. Hi, Scotty.
How you going?
Yeah, mate. What do you got?
Mate, I've got a good one here. Like, blokes, I don't know anyone in general, for example. Mm. But I have been asked a fair bit of late how to cook pasta by women in their 40s.
And where do you work, Scotty? Are you a cooking teacher?
No, mate, I'm a butcher.
How to cook pasta. Well, I can understand. Don't they always ask you, what do I do with this? If you've got a particular cut of meat, that's okay to ask you that.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. I don't have an issue at all telling them.
Pasta? But how do you cook pasta?
Yeah.
That is
And,
outrageous.
You know... Blokes asking me how to cook steak. I'm sorry, but if you don't know how to cook steak, you shouldn't be in the kitchen.
Yeah. Scotty, stay on the line. I may need to ask you a question off air.
Yeah,
it's a meat-based question.
Ed's new barbecue.
Burn Atomic makes it through yesterday, which is great. The Australian girls are doing pretty well at the Open as well, which is fantastic. But the big story today is the disintegration, the mental disintegration of Nick Kyrgios after being two sets up losing to an Italian journeyman, Andreas Seppi. Now, we're going to go to one of our favourite tennis experts. He's now a commentator. He's had 9 career titles, former world number 5. Everybody's
he doesn't
favorite.
Mess around, does he?
No, he doesn't. Everyone's favourite Frenchman, Henri Lecomte. Good morning, Henri.
Good morning, mate.
Now, what's going on with Nick Kyrgios? Have you ever seen someone like this on tour before with all the talent in the world but just can't get it together mentally?
No. I think this is this definitely has a lot of talent and is a great player. But you know, first of all, you play someone like Sepi, who's a great player, is always coming back and, you know, is a good fighter for 5 sets. But since someone who just his reaction leading 2 sets to love and then sometimes play some points, doesn't want to play, it's kind of strange and weird. I'm sorry to say that, but it's hope he will understand one day, you know, because time is flying.
But it could be the greatest waste of talent the game's ever seen. Henri, have you ever seen a player without a coach before?
They have a few, yes. A few, but I think when you start playing and we have such a talent like he is, I think he's more... his attitude sometimes is more afraid about something. He has to just understand what's going on the tour. He has to be more professional. He has to train. He has to... You can't waste time like that.
Talking to Henri Lecomte about Nick Kyrgios. So, Henri, what is it that you think he will end up doing? Because, as you say, he should be top 10, and everyone knows that. Every commentator says he's got incredible talent. But tennis does throw this up every now and again. There are people, even Gael Monfils, someone like that, who just, they end up just enjoying the fact that they're a bit of a novelty on the tour, and they're rich, and they don't care.
Yeah, but the problem now is there's so much pressure. That's what they say from outside, from the sponsors, from management, for everybody around. But you don't have to forget, it's a game. You have to enjoy yourself. If you don't like playing tennis, I mean, do something else. Besides to do what, you know, it's so important that you can give your best all the time. When you wake up, you just say, listen, I'm such fortunate to have such a game like that in tennis and be popular and make money, enjoy myself and try to do the best I can. If one day you just have, especially now, talk to someone who can help you to be better and to improve and to be, you know, part of the world of tennis. And there is so many kids or people who wants to see Nick Kyrgios be top 10 and winning a Grand Slam. So why he doesn't want it?
Yeah, that's true. It's a head scratcher. Well, if you see him, please pass on some of that wisdom of yours, Henri.
You know,
please.
What you should do. You should play the Aussie Wolves to get fight. You know, to get some fight. Some
get some mongrel.
Yeah,
we call it mongrel.
Get some mongrel. Yeah. Henri Lecomte, it is a pleasure, mate. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. See you soon, buddy.
Okay, mate. Okay, bye.
Not all that important, but remember, I was telling you, Harry, my young bloke's going to start work as a welder soon, do some welding and boiler making and fabrication and stuff, and doing the course. Went out yesterday to a foundry where he's going to be doing some work. All right, so not only, I reckon it was 38, maybe 39 degrees as we hopped out of the car, and then you go in there and these blokes, I don't know if there's anywhere hotter than being a welder in this sort of temperature, because there ain't no air conditioning in these old buildings, these old sheds where these blokes work. Is it welding? And then I read a story where the chef said, I think I've got the... There's a story in the paper today. This girl reckons she's got the hottest job in Brisbane yesterday. 63 degrees Celsius was working in a kitchen. Yep. These welding dudes, they were all wetting their shirts down and they had fans on and stuff going and wetting their hats, you know, and then they had to put helmets over the top. I don't know, what is the hottest job? Because then I saw a bloke mowing lawns. Like, you imagine all those property maintenance guys, because the grass is going crazy. Is that the hottest job?
Yep. What about, like, high rise? Was there any, like, do you get reflection off the glass? Does that make it
roofers?
Yeah, or roofers.
Just thinking of that bikey that got arrested on the roof. See, that would have been hot on his poor little feet.
What was the hottest job yesterday? If you were out and about, if you were working and working hot, what was the hottest job yesterday? I mean, it's still going to be hot today, but yesterday was the day. Who did it hot yesterday? Julian from Deception Bay.
What is he?
What was the hot job, buddy?
Oh, mate, I'm a scaffolder, and it gets pretty hot out there.
Oh, God, I bet. Do you wear gloves?
Oh, I do, but yesterday I wasn't, which I should have been.
Don't you burn your hands every time you touch a piece of metal?
Oh, it was about 1 o'clock yesterday, and me foreman told me to go lug some gear. So I went and picked some of the scaff up, put it on my shoulder, and slid down and burnt me straight on the neck. Looked like I got a hickey.
Okay, that's when just picking something up at your job burns your neck. That's a hot job. Excellent work. Thanks, Jules. Here's Scotty from Alex Hills. You called for this, Marto. Go and give it to us, Scotty. Hottest job, what is it, buddy? What was it yesterday?
I'm an apprentice spiky. I've been crawling through roofs and installing air conditioning, so it's not very fun.
I think that might take the cake. I always say in summer, in the roof ceiling space in Queensland or Brisbane is where you should put the jails.
Not just the heat, the humidity doubles up there too, mate.
Oh, mate.
How hot do you reckon, Scotty? How hot was it in degrees, you reckon?
Monday would have been about 65 degrees up there.
Yeah, you would have been speculating, you and the other boys, weren't you? Were you saying how hot is it?
Yeah. I'm up there myself. The boss keeps yelling up, "You all right up there?" I'm like,
Are you alive is what he means. Thank you, Scotty.
That's what apprentices are for. Bo from Everton Park, what were you doing, mate?
Yeah, mate, we lay roads for a living, so we're standing on top of 180-degree bloody asphalt all day.
Oh, my God.
Copping steam off the sun and reflection off the road.
Oh, my God. And what are you wearing, Bo, when this is going on? Are you in shorts and a tee?
We have to wear high protective gear, so it's apparently it's extra safe to wear long sleeves, long shorts, heat-proof boots, double-coated, so yeah, there's no room for much breathing in your skin.
Oh, mate.
Say it again. Say that temperature again, Bo.
180 degrees, mate. That's what we lay it at, and that's what it comes up at about, I don't know, 90. You're standing above 80.
Mate, they have all the rules to protect you. Is there any rules about it being too hot and that you can't do it anymore?
That's not the Australian way, mate. You'd be pussy.
Yeah, right. You get stuck into it, Bo.
All right, Bo's going to be hard to beat. Here's Tony.
He's standing in it.
Yeah, Tony, mate, how hot was it? What was the job?
Mate, I'm a scaffold at Caltech's fuel refinery. We work next to the pipes that get up to 300 or 400 degrees. So you're literally just sweating, saturated from the moment you walk in there without even working.
Okay, Tony, you're standing next to something that is 300 degrees.
Yeah, mate.
Tony, you know when you grew up in New Zealand, did you go, gee, I'd really like to get to Oz, it's real warm over there. Was that the dream?
Oh, you could say that, eh?
Yeah. Mate, that's
not really the dream now.
How many litres of water did you drink yesterday, Tone?
Close to 10 litres, mate.
Oh, my God.
So do you lose...
Not the Gatorade, plus Gatorade, and that at Smoko's.
Oh, it's so expensive, Smoko.
This is going to be a stupid question, Tony, but do you lose weight? Like, jockeys would do that to lose weight to make weight for a race. Do you lose weight in a day, Tone?
You just keep eating, mate.
Okay.
Fuel the body, eh?
Fuel the body. Just keep eating, keep replacing. You got a winner for us, Marto. They're going to go to the heat. Who have you got for me?
Oh, God, this is serious.
Got to be Bo, doesn't it?
I reckon Bo laying the asphalt in 180-degree temperature. You're the winner, mate. Go to the heat tomorrow night and cool down.
Yeah, beauty.
They got the pool there at the Gabba, Bo. You could just go in the work gear, jump straight in. That'd be beautiful for everybody else.
The pool seats, up the heat.
The TV in summer, they say, the shows go off air. Well, they don't, because it's a great time for sport. And I think you and I have been talking about this off air a little bit, and I think something's happened. I think officially, and the numbers are starting to bear this out, the Big Bash has taken over from the Australian Open as the big summer sporting competition in Australia.
Whoa. You're saying January that it's... have you got any figures on that, or are you just making that up? Yes.
No. No. The Big Bash is double what it first started at a couple of years ago. It beat the Australian Open on TV. It's beating the Australian Open on TV.
Different group, isn't it, mate? It's the same as when you look at the fans at the BBL. It's all girl. There's so many girls and kids, and that's who's watching it on TV. Tennis is such an oldie. Like, my mum's going down to the Australian Open on Saturday and Sunday and Monday. That's what it is. It's an older person's sport, the tennis. I know there's some youngsters there.
I got to say, though, I think they've got to find a way to make the cover. I know the Kyrgios thing was interesting last night, but
if you hung around until the end, it went for 3 hours in the end.
That's right. It's
same as the BBL.
Well, it's less, but at least there's more going on. And there's 20 matches or 10 matches per night or whatever it is. You've got to have the option for a split screen or something. I know they go flick over to 7-2, but who knows where that is. Every time I flick it on, it's got Heartbeat on or whatever.
I don't know who the bloody hell half these BBL cricketers are, mate. I'm still not convinced. I'm still a test cricket watcher. You know, I loved all the tests over the summer. I love the way they... Mate, I can watch it for 5 days. I do think that test cricket should go to 3 hours a day and make it go for 7 days.
Don't do that. That is too...
How good is that? Starting at 6 each night.
Okay.
The news is on at 5:30 to 6. Then we go to... Right. Let's go to Test cricket, 6 till 9 every night of the week.
It's not a... Look,
the Test match. Thursday night, there's still 3 nights to go.
I know, that's a different idea. Because the other thing is the Australian Open has so many dud matches.
The Australian Open is now over for all of us. We don't know anyone's name from now on. There's Ash Barty. Yes, she's still going. Bernard Tomic and that Dasha Gavrilova, the Russian bride.
The Russian-Australian. It's always out of 2 people. So it's either Murray or Djokovic this year. So it's always out of just 2 people. So you're like, all this time is wasted. Then it's either Serena Williams or unless Serena gets beaten, then, oh, my goodness, someone else might win it. I cannot get excited about it anymore.
Kyrgios is gone. We either saw him be outstanding or a dud. Actually, he was both on one night, which is good, and that's the end of Kyrgios. They may as well roll out My Kitchen Rules, Pete and Manu, tonight.
Mm. Oh,
kick cool. it off.
Mm. Jeez, mate.
And bump the tennis over to 7-2. 7 g'day, mate, whatever it's
You're
called.
You're relegating
7-2. Your tennis can go, well, of course it can.
Oh. Yeah. I'd
They've already
to know.
Got Pete and Manu in the can. They filmed that back in 2012 this year's series. Right. So they're ready to go.
Right. That's right. I'd love to know what people think.
Well, let's take Harry, my 17-year-old son. He won't watch any tennis at all, but when he found out Kyrgios is on last night, he started watching. There you go.
Which is the key.
Whereas tonight, from now on, he will not watch any more Australian Open, wouldn't give a stuff about it. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, they will watch the Big Bash, especially if they know Leonor McCullum. I reckon it's selective. If the Big Bash ain't interesting, kids won't waste time. Mm. But they waste so much time on other things.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've got so many other important things to do. Someone's going to snap at someone. Billy's from Caboolture. All right, give it to us. In your house, which is winning, the Australian Open or the Big Bash?
Well, both. We have 2 TVs and 2 lounge rooms, and the wife watches the tennis down one lounge room, and I've got to argue with my son to watch the cricket down the other lounge room when he wants to watch Netflix.
Oh, you narcos.
You actually narcos. Have... The Australian household. That is, that sums it up.
Yeah, Billy,
well,
that's
to.
It.
You who's got better aircon?
Well, it's a main aircon that does the whole house, so there's no argument there.
Right. that's excellent work. Yeah, I forgot the Netflix wrinkle. Hey, Paul's from Caboolture. Come on, Paul, what's winning? You've given up on the tennis, haven't you?
No, I'm tennis through and through. Cricket's too boring. It should be chip and run.
Well, it sort of is.
Hey, what did you think about my test cricket idea? 7 nights a week just for 3 hours a night?
Oh, no, thanks. I used to play pretty high indoor cricket.
Yeah. Wow.
But I cannot stand outdoor cricket. It's the slowest, boring game I've ever watched in a lot.
All right, Paul, we've spoken about Kyrgios. So I think we're going to have Henri Leconte on in the next hour or so trying to. You know, if anyone would understand a weird mind, it could be a Frenchman. But talking about Kyrgios. But will you keep watching the tennis now if there's no Australians in?
Yeah, because Roger Federer is probably, loved by Australia. So I love his backhand. It's just awesome. So I'll keep watching until Federer's done. But cricket, mate, like, honestly, I don't know the idea. The guy runs in from about 40 metres away.
Hey.
And if he doesn't want the batter, don't want to hit it, he doesn't have to. Well, it should be like gone. You're out of there. Just hit the bloody ball and make the game go, will you?
Right. I wish you were commentating, Paul.
You and Marto can have a beer at the Norman Bee and you can sort out cricket because I think you've got some fascinating ideas there. All right, Paul, you enjoy the backhands and we will speak to you later on.
Bye.
Hey, do you remember yesterday we spoke to the Deputy Lord Mayor? Remember Adrian Schrinner? And we said, what a lot of sense he made. Well, he's the one who started that e-petition calling for a referendum on daylight saving in Queensland.
Yes.
Righto, you got him? So yesterday, the day before, we had 3,000. It's only been going for about 48 hours. Then he'd nearly doubled that figure by that first afternoon to 6,000. Then yesterday morning, what did he say it was? 8?
About 8.
8,000.
Now, since we spoke to him, what's it gone to?
12,200.
So this
people have signed the petition saying, please, let's have a referendum, let's have a vote along with the state election on whether or not daylight saving's happening.
Just so you know, we have put in numerous calls to the Premier's office to try and get someone to talk about this. So far, the Deputy Mayor is the highest ranking politician willing to go on the radio to even discuss it. Now, we did do a big phone poll yesterday too, Marto, and we have to say that surprisingly to us, 70% of the people that called us said, look, they're not interested in daylight savings, but it's... It's gathering steam. If you want to have a look, it's a
but that was the hottest day of the year. Remember?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was a bad day to take the poll.
And also, we get up early. Yeah, we get up early, and we speak to people who get up early. So I think that that has an effect as well, which is, I guess, who it does affect. So, yeah, you can go to triplem.com.au. We've got a link to that petition there, and we'll keep you updated because this is starting to gather steam. 12,000 people in what a couple of days. That's something.
Sure is. You can find the same petition on our Triple M Facebook page. It is Marto and Ed for breakfast. Triple M.
Simple question. Just a short answer. Please, Marto, there is people in my life everywhere who are now starting to think about, oh, I might try and renovate this house that they've bought, or we might try and do an extension, or we might do this. Babies is what's happening in my friends.
You're at that age, yeah.
And they're all, everyone's talking about it. And the question was asked to just in general the other day, and I thought, I have no idea the answer to that, which is a draftsman or an architect. If you've got something, or even a couple of rooms, or you want to add a room, or you want to do something, well, what's a draftsman? What's an architect? Aren't architects just people in funny glasses that are on grand designs
and bow ties?
Who are insufferable? Isn't it? Where do you start?
Two of my best mates are architects. One of them was one of them was the builder I did my apprenticeship with, my carpentry apprenticeship. He went and became an architect. He may well be the most useful architect in the whole world.
Right.
They're expensive. That's what you first need to know. They cost money. Draftsman, let's say, I'll give you a practical example. Like for a $200,000 reno, a draftsman could probably do up the plans for $1,500 to $2,000.
Jeez.
An architect could cost anywhere between $12,000 to $20,000.
What's the difference?
The difference is that you've got to know what you want if you want to use a draftsman. You've got to have already done the dreaming and the thinking and lived in your house for a while and know what the breezes do and the sun does. You've got to be smart, and you've probably got to watch. And you've watched enough of those shows. If it was you, you've watched enough of Grand Designs and all those shows to get a good idea. And now you've lived in your house. I always say, don't do anything to your house until you live in it for a year, because then you sort out where everything, what happens over the seasons. All right. So after you've lived in a year, you should be, if you're smart enough, you should be able to do it all yourself. I shouldn't say this against architects. Architects do the dreaming for you. Whereas if you're smart, you've done the dreaming, the draftsmen are the technical, are just the technical drawers of the plans. The architects, yes, they'll get some minion back in their office to do the drawings on AutoCAD on their computers, but they do all the dreaming. That's what you're paying for, their brain to think.
Okay, so my final question is, architect or draftsman, who's the person that bribes the council to get it through?
Oh, that's more town plan. You need a dodgy builder is also good at that. Nah, the architect's not bad at that. But you know, I'm talking as a carpenter and builder.
We
often have run-ins with the architect because they dream things up and put things on paper which can't actually work in real life, and we yell at them from the building site, and they're very calm, whereas we're very hot and going, mate, get down here and show
get
us.
Get that scarf off. Yeah. Get that scarf. take off that brown leather satchel. Get off that fixed-wheeled bicycle. And come and have a look at this sun sail. Yeah?
Put
it doesn't hit the ground.
I don't add Triple M.
There you go.